Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Today we are learning remotely through a teleconference line, which was set up by my friend's husband, Mr. Goralitz, and I thank him for his chesed and for his assistance in facilitating Torah. It should be a schus for him and his family, as well to the anonymous sponsor of today's shir for the schus of being Marbitz Torah, Larabim, and also for being Machazik us all during this turbulent time. It is very it's a big source of chizuk for myself, and I'm sure for all of you sitting in your homes, to be able to bring some normalcy to our lives, to remember that we are simply here as Ovdei Hashem. We are where the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to be. We are doing what God wants us to be doing. Hameichin mitzadei gaver. So sometimes we learn in person and we become used to a certain thing. And sometimes we learn remotely and we have to remember when we say the bracha Hameichin mitzadei gaver, Hashem prepares the footsteps of man. I remember I have a friend, a high school friend actually, whose daughter, an 18-year-old daughter, was being treated with cancer treatments the year before last. Periodically she would send out updates to our old friends, high school friends, class chat. And one of the things she posted, which stuck with me so much, was when she spoke about Hameichi Mitzadei Gaver. And she said it was a very, very difficult and turbulent year. Baruch Hashem, her daughter is doing beautifully, and she should live on Mei Veshim Shana with Richus Yamim and Shanim in good health. And one of the things she said was she has to remind herself when she says the bracha Hameichi Mitzadei Gaver, God prepares my footsteps. I put one foot in front of the other, but I am only where the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to be. And I think, lahavdil, during this time when the world is facing a scare, and our community is certainly, we are so community-oriented, Baruch Hashem, and we are facing a pachad. We have to remember that the Ribono Shel Olam prepares our footsteps. We are only where Hashem wants us to be. So I sent out the pages through the WhatsApp chat. Somebody, I don't know if she wants to remain anonymous or not, so in case, I'm not going to say her name. Somebody suggested, emailed me that I send out the pages. I thought it was a very good idea because I don't know if everybody actually has access to the Sefer. I did send out page 19 by mistake, okay? So we are actually on page 20. I didn't realize when I sent them out. So we're on page 20. You should have the handout in front of you. Last time we spoke about the idea of Zachar Vishamar, and we saw a beautiful piece by Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch. If you missed the class, it's on YU Torah. You can access it. We saw a beautiful piece by Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch where he says that Zachar is for the whole world, and Shamar is unique for Knesset Yisrael. Everybody is required to remember Zachar. Actually, somebody sent me, I'm not going to name any names today because I don't know if people want to be mentioned, someone sent me a very interesting, after last time's class, it was a video clip. I don't know if it was a pope. I don't think it was a pope. Like a leader of a parish, some sort of priest or cardinal. And it was a 1 or 2 minute WhatsApp video that came across. And he was talking about the fact that the world needs to remember God. This was not a Jewish person. It was a leader in the Christian community based on his dress. Didn't have his name, that the world needs to remember God. How do we remember God? Every seventh day we must rest, we must remember God. So we see the idea of Zachar is really for the whole world, while the idea of Shamar, we saw, says Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch, is unique to Knesset Yisrael. And Rivka Fuchs, our hostess, Be'ezras Hashem, we will be back in our home soon when things return to normal. So Rivka Fuchs pointed out to me, she sent me an email saying that she noticed after our learning last time, the most important part of our learning is to implement it into our daily lives. And she was saying, L'chadodi, and here's a nice thought to go into Shabbos with, L'chadodi, L'chaskala, Pnei Shabbos, N'kabalah. Come, my beloved, let us go greet the Shabbos bride. We will greet the face of Shabbos. And the first stanza is, Shamar v'zachor b'dibur echad. Hishmi, I hear a noise. If you could please remember, if you just joined us, please make sure to mute your phones for the benefit of everybody listening. Shamar v'zachor b'dibur echad. Hishmi anu al hamiyuchad. Shamar, to guard, v'zachor, to remember, were mentioned in one statement. Hishmi anu al hamiyuchad. The Ribono Shel Olam made us here. Hashem echad u'shmo echad. God is one, his name is one. L'shem, for renown, his known. U'litif eres, for splendor. U'litihila, v'litihila, and for praise. And Rivka Fuchs emailed me and she said she realized that in the Chadodi, we say Shamar first, and Zohar second, which really denotes the uniqueness of Knesset Yisrael. We do not in our Kabbalah Shabbos, which was composed by the Kabbalists in Tzfas, of course we spoke about that a number of weeks ago, we do not say Zohar first and Shamor, even though in the Aseret HaDibros, actually in Parshas Yisro, it was Zohar first. In Eschanan, it was Shamor. So in the Aseret HaDibros, Zohar was introduced first, and when Moshe repeats Aseret HaDibros, he says Shamor. That's because Shabbos was introduced to the whole world. But in the Chadodi, what denotes our unique relationship with God when we welcome Shabbos is we first say Shamar, showing that we are unique to Hashem. And like Rivka noticed in the Chadodi, I noticed similarly in Shabbos, Kedusha Rabbah, Kiddush for Shabbos Day. We first say the paragraph of Vishamu B'nei Yisrael Esa Shabbos, La'asos Esa Shabbos L'dor Esam Bris Olam. B'nei Yisrael guarded the Shabbos to make the Shabbos for generations. And only then do we read the paragraph of Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'kato Sheishis Yamim Tavo V'asisa Kol Melech Techa. So it's extremely interesting that both in the Chadodi, Friday night, please remember to mute your phones when you join our call. Very important to please mute your phones for the benefit of everybody. This year, Be'ezras Hashem will also be going on YU Torah. I'm recording it for those who could not join us on the call. So first we say B'shamru, then we say Zachar, Yom HaShabbos Kacho in the Kiddush, and in the Chadodi we say Shamar first and Zachar second, denoting our unique relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Rav Salvechik, and I am quoting from the Siddur Koren, Misoret HaRav, commentary of Rav Salvechik on the phrase Shamar V'Zachar B'Dibur Echad in the Chadodi. Rav Salvechik says, I'm sorry, we really need people to remember to please mute their phones when you call in. I know we're all just getting the hang of this, and Be'ezras Hashem, we should all go back to normal soon, but in case we need to have further teleconference calls, everyone should please remember to mute as you join the call. So Rav Salvechik writes that in Sefer Shemos, in Parshas Yisro, we are told, Zachor, remember the Shabbos day. In Devarim v'Eschanan, we are told, Shamar, as Yom HaShabbos Kacho, guard Shabbos Day. Rav Salvechik quotes the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Chof Amud Aleph, and the Gemara indicates, at the time of Matan Torah, at Har Sinai, these words were uttered simultaneously. We know that Hashem said both Zachar and Shamar in one statement, implying, says the Rav, that these two imperatives are experienced simultaneously as well, meaning we experience Zachar and we experience Shamar simultaneously. If the Ribbono Shel Olam said them together, it means the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to experience them together. While Shamar refers to the formal and legalistic prohibitions of Shabbos, says Rav Salvechik. So according to the Rav, Shamar, to guard, refers to formal and legalistic prohibitions, meaning the law, the lo taseh on the aseh, what you can do and what you cannot do on Shabbos. Zachar refers not to the halachos and the shmira, but rather, says Rav Salvechik, to the experiential quality of Shabbos. Zachar means, do you know how to experience Shabbos? Not only do you know how to guard the law, what is bishul, what's not bishul, what is tochein, what's not tochein, what is borer, what's not borer, what is to do it with a shinui, what does it mean not to do it with a shinui, that's shamar. Zachar means you know how to experience Shabbos. So I will tell you something very personal, that during this turbulent time, I spoke to my kids, I'm sure that we are all speaking to our children and our grandchildren, and I told them that it is very important that the only thing we can do is, our hishtadlus right now is tefillah, ein lanu amila hisha'ein, ela al avinu shebashamayim, and personal hygiene. Those are both tefillah, I don't know which to say comes first, they really come simultaneously, lahavda, like Zachar and Shamar were said simultaneously, at the same time that we practice good personal hygiene, keeping our hands clean. We are told over and over to make sure we wash our hands. Also, we have to know about the power of davening, but I did suggest that everyone should take a personal Kabbalah upon themselves. Everyone has to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we are overcoming a Yetzer Hara and we are sacrificing a little bit. And I don't know if it's a good idea, but sometimes my mind tells me, if you don't know if it's a good idea, don't say it. But I am going to say it because maybe it could be mechazik somebody else. And I think it's related to what we are learning here. Shamar is keeping the halacha of Shabbos. Zachar, says Rav Salvechik, is how you experience Shabbos, that quality of Shabbos. But I took upon myself, Be'ezra Sashem, and I'm not saying this for Ein Hara in any way, shape, or form, is that I have to make sure to wear my sheitel to the Shabbos meals. I did not always in the past come with a sheitel to the Shabbos meals. I would sometimes put on, not sometimes, I would often, unless we had company, put on a ticha. And I realized, especially because of this class, so kol kavod to our hostess, Rivka Fuchs, and to all who learn with me, that we don't put on a sheitel for the guests. We put on a sheitel for the Ribono Shel Olam. If I go out the whole week in a sheitel, then on Shabbos I also have to be wearing one. So I took upon myself, and when I come to the Shabbos meals, I have to look like I am greeting the queen. And I already started it last week. And this relates to the Zachar aspect of Shabbos. It's the experiential quality of Shabbos. On Shabbos, says Rav Soloveitchik, we own nothing. We do not own our material acquisitions, nor do we own our creative talents, which is why the Mishkan, which is these parashos, Shuma, Tetzava, Ketisa, Vayakal, Pekudei, deal with Melechas HaMishkan. But like we saw last time, Melechas HaMishkan is not Docha Shabbos. We do not own our creative talents, but Salah was not allowed to work on Shabbos. We do not own our material acquisitions. We surrender Shabbos, as Rav Soloveitchik reminds us, we surrender everything to God. And that's where we put Shamar, denoting our unique relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, before Zachar, both in the Chadodi and also in Kiddusha Rabbah, Kiddush of Shabbos Day, through withdrawal from work, as signified by Shamar, we attain Kiddusha. And through Kiddusha, we fulfill the Zachar imperative. So Soloveitchik is teaching us here. We're not actually in the Sefer yet on the pages that I sent out to you, because I am following up with a PS from last time, new insights to Shamar and Zachar. If the Ribbono Shel Olam said Zachar and Shamar simultaneously, it means he wants us to observe them simultaneously. How can we observe simultaneously? So Soloveitchik says, by observing the halachos of Shamar, Shmiras Shabbos, we at the same time experience Kedusha, and through the Kedusha we fulfill the Zachar imperative through withdrawal, through Shamar. One has time, says Rav, for tefillah. One has time for the study of Torah on Shabbos, and these activities will help us achieve the Zachar experience. So I thought it was very beautiful tonight, as you say, the Chadodi Be'ezra Hashem, and tomorrow, when you hear Kiddusha Rabbah, Kiddush, after Musaf, before you eat being said, keep in mind, Vishamru comes first, Zachar comes next. Through the Shmiras Shabbos, through the withdrawal from work, through creativity, through productive work, and dedicating ourselves to God through the halachos, we achieve Zachar, which is an elevated state of Kedusha, and therefore we can observe both Zachar and Shamar at the same time. I thought it was very, very beautiful, and I thank Rivka for reaching out, and also for myself noticing it in Kiddush. With that, let us go into the Sefer, please. We are on page 20. If you could refer to the WhatsApp that I sent out, you should have the pages in front of you. I just want to say as a side note, I know that people joined because I heard that beeping, so I know there are Baruch Hashem and quite a number of people on this call. Sometimes, all too often, we talk about the downside of technology. And the truth is there are many dangers, and we have to protect ourselves and we have to protect our children. But it's quite amazing. I feel a really amazing feeling that I can't put into words that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us this technology, that here we are learning together. Even though we're in our own homes, I think that it's extremely moving, and every tool in the world can be used for bad or for good. It's how we choose to use it, and this reminds us that if we use technology for good, it's a tremendously moving experience. I feel very connected to all of you. It sounds a little corny, but I really do. We're sitting in our own homes, whether you're in your kitchen or your office, I don't know, your living room. We're all learning together. It's quite an amazing, amazing thing. And we have to give thanks to Ribbono Shel Olam, yes, also for technology. So let us go into the Sefer. I'd just like to go back one paragraph since we haven't learned for 2 weeks. So let's look at the second paragraph on page 20. We did it already. I'm not reviewing the insights we said last time. Just to recap so we're all on the same page together, pun intended. It is a very good practice, says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, that beginning on Wednesday, which is the fourth day of the week, we think to ourselves, in 2 days it will be Shabbos. When we pass the store, we can think to ourselves, I will buy such and such food in honor of Shabbos. In 2 days, Hashem himself will visit me. I will be in the Kodesh HaKadashim, in the Beis HaMikdash. I want to buy a treat in honor of Shabbos Kodesh. Starting from Friday morning, that's where we are today. By the way, whoever, like myself, took upon themselves to make Shabbos a few minutes early, this week it will be much easier for us because the actual Zman is so late. If we took that Kabbalah, we don't have any excuse for not keeping it. Hashem should help us because we have so much extra time. Starting Friday morning, which is now, we should think about Shabbos constantly. When we see our mother preparing the fish, we can ask her, can we add a little bit of salt in honor of the Shabbos? Can we add a little bit of ketchup to the chont? Can we add a little bit of pepper to the chicken soup? We are excited Shabbos is coming. We said last time that the Ramban says that the whole nation made the Aron. Did the whole nation make the Aron? Bezalel made the Aron. The whole nation was either required to donate a piece of jewelry specifically for the Aron or to help Bezalel or to have the Kavana. And this relates to our preparation for Shabbos. Here we go. New material. New material in the Sefer. We already did new material. Even greater is following in the footsteps of the great Torah sages who started preparing for Shabbos already at the beginning of the week. So if Shimshon Pinchas said prepare on Wednesday, no. The Chachamim began to prepare at the beginning of the week. It is said about Shammai, and here we quote, you see the footnote is Maseches Beitza, Tes Zayin, Amr Aleph. It is said about Shammai, when he found a choice animal, he would say, this one is for Shabbos. When he found a better one, he would designate the second one and eat the first one. So what I'm going to do, as we often do in our learning, is I'm going to go into the Gemara, and of course it's a much lengthier piece and more insights than just what Rav Shimshon Pinchas quotes. So I'm going to Maseches Beitza Tes Zayin Aleph. So the Gemara says, Tanya, it was taught in a Braisa. Amru Aleph al Shammai Hazakin. It was said about Shammai the Elder. Kol Yamav Haya Ochel Lichvod Shabbos. Every day of the week, he would eat in honor of Shabbos. And we have to think to ourselves, do I eat on Sunday in honor of Shabbos? Do I eat on Monday in honor of Shabbos? No, I don't, to be honest. But Shammai did. How so? Matza Behema Na'a. If he came across a superior animal, so today I guess that would mean if you find a nice steak in the grocery, if anybody shopped yesterday in Seasons or Gourmet Glad, you know it's not so simple today, and it's a bracha. Every teeny morsel of food we have from the Ribbono Shel Olam in our homes is a tremendous bracha. That's also what all of this is reminding us of. Matza Behema Na'a, if he came across a superior animal anytime during the week, Omer Shammai would say, Zula Shabbos. This should be put aside for the Shabbos meal. So if you find a beautiful steak on Monday, don't serve it for Monday night supper. Shammai would say, Zula Shabbos. However, Matza Acheres Na'a Hemena, if he would find another more beautiful animal. So on Monday, he found the steak and he said, this is for Shabbos. And so what will we do today? Put it in your freezer. Say, this is so beautiful, it's for Shabbos. But no. Then on Tuesday, he found a better animal. Na'a Hemena, a better one. Meneach Es Hashnia. He would leave the second one for Shabbos. V'ocha Es Harishona. Now he could say, I could eat the steak for Monday because I never thought I would find such a London boy like I found on Tuesday. He would eat the first one during the week. So Shammai's weekday meals, our school comments in the Gemara, were deemed to be in honor of Shabbos. So the inferior animal was eaten. The superior one was reserved for Shabbos. However, Shammai's almost partner is Hillel because so often they go together. What was Hillel's behavior? Aval Hillel Hazakin, Mida Acheres Haislo. Hillel Hazakin had a different Mida Acheres, a different measure. He did not behave this way. What would he do? He used whatever was available on that day. Why? He would say, whatever I find on Monday, I'm going to eat on Monday. Whatever I find on Tuesday, I'm going to eat on Tuesday. Comments the Gemara. Shakom Ma'asov L'Shem Shemayim. All his actions were done for the sake of heaven. Comments the art school. No, he was sure he would find a fitting animal for Shabbos when the need arose. So Hillel did not feel the need on Monday to put aside his steak or his animal, the Lashon of the Gemara, the Behema for Shabbos, because Hillel was sure that on Thursday when I go to the market, I will find the most superior Behema that is possible. So, how? Hillel would say, interestingly, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. This is a quote from Kapitel to Hillel. Hillel would say, Yom Yom, I live day by day. I have so much bitachon and amun in the Ribbono Shel Olam that I don't need to save on Monday. When I go to the market, Erev Shabbos, I'll find the most superior animal so I could eat on Monday what I find on Monday. The footnote to art school says, many authorities explain, Hillel agreed that Shammai's conduct. Welcome to whoever just joined. Baruch Hashem, we have so many people on this wonderful call. It's so inspiring. A reminder to please mute your phones. Many authorities explain, Hillel agreed, Shammai's conduct in preparing for Shabbos is preferable for most people. So here, I'm going to say it again. Many authorities explain, even Hillel agreed, Shammai's conduct in preparing for Shabbos is preferable. That means people like us, if you find a beautiful roast on Tuesday, you should set it aside for Shabbos like Shammai did. Why didn't Hillel act like that? So the footnote says, Hillel himself had an extraordinary amount of faith. He wanted to rely on the Ribbono Shel to find food for Shabbos Mamash Erev, Shabbos Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. However, others who do not have that degree of faith in God are advised to set aside food for Shabbos at the beginning of the week. And interestingly, in the Art Scroll footnote that I'm quoting from, to Beitza Tes Zayin, that is quoting the Mishnah Brura. And if you look on page 20, what you will see in the Sefer is the Mishnah Brura states, although we generally follow, and back to the Sefer, page 20 at the bottom, the Mishnah Brura states, so both of Shimshon Pinkas here and Art Scroll footnotes say that even though the Chavetz Chaim is a Mishnah Brura, Paskins, even though we generally follow the dictum of Beis Hillel, like we know, Chanukah stands for Chas Neiros v'Halacha k'Beis Hillel. So for all Machlokas, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, we paskin like Beis Hillel, except I believe for 18, we paskin everything like Beis Hillel, 18 we paskin like Beis Shammai. With regard to preparation for Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah teaches, we follow the practice of Beis Shammai, which is, so that means for us, when we are shopping in the grocery, and you find that beautiful piece of meat, I don't know, first cut brisket, maybe your family likes second cut, it's a little juicier, it's fattier, or you find a beautiful London broil, or you find a top of the rib roast, you should put it away for Shabbos, which means that your whole week is Shabbos focused. So when you're in the grocery in the beginning of the week, it means that already on Monday you're thinking about Shabbos. Don't wait till Wednesday. I'm going to continue with the Gemara before we go back to the Sefer. The Gemara cites a similar brisa. Tanya nam mihachi. It was taught in another brisa. Beis Shammai omrim, Beis Shammai would say, mechad shabich leshabasich. From the first day of the week, you prepare for Shabbos. Ubeis Hillel omrim, but Beis Hillel says, Baruch Hashem yom yom, blessed Hashem every single day. The Gemara then records another discussion. Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chama said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Hanosein matana lechaveiro, ein sarich lehodio. Listen to this. One who gives a gift to his friend should not inform him of the gift. And Rashi says, even if it will cause the recipient to wonder from whom the gift came from. Now, before you say you're going to stop signing your gift cards and not telling people, wait till you hear the end of the Gemara, because it's not so clear. The Gemara begins with Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina saying, if you give a matana to your friend, you do not need to inform him. What's the proof for that? And interestingly, I was so excited when I was preparing for Shir, it's this week's Parsha. Shenemar, umbol shalo yad, Kikaran or Panav. It is a pasuk from Kisisa. This week's parsha is Kisisa. When Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, it's from Parak Lamed Daled in Kisisa. He does not know that the skin of his face was shining. God gave him the gift of a divine radiance. Moshe's face was aglow with the gift of Torah, and Hashem did not tell him. How do we know? Because it says, Umoshe lo yada kikaran or panav. So the Gemara learns out from here that if you give someone a present, you shouldn't tell them. Rashi teaches, Moshe lo yada, il malay nasano kolish baruchu karan or panim velo hodio. God gave him the gift of a radiant skin of face, but he did not make it known to him. However, the Gemara challenges this, because the Gemara says, there's another pasuk that says, in Shemos, Perek Lamed Aleph, Lada'as, by the way, it's also Parshas Kitisa, both of these pasukim are from Parshas Kitisa, Lada'as ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Another pasuk says, you should know that I am God, be it known that I, Hashem, sanctify you. This is a pasuk that speaks about Shabbos Kodesh. I'm just going to open it up to Shemos so I could tell you. It's Shemos Lamed Aleph Yud Gimel, and the pasuk says, here we go, Va'ata daber el b'nei Yisrael, and you Moshe speak the b'nei Yisrael. Again, this is also Kisisa, ladies. Lemor ach es shabsosai tishmeru, but my Sabbath you should guard. Ki osi beinu veinechem adorasechem. It is a sign, an os, between me and you for generations. Lada'as, so you shall know. Ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. I am God who sanctifies you. So the Gemara is questioning here. Do you tell a person when you give them a gift? God did not tell Moshe at the end of Kisisa that his face was beaming with the light of divine glory. Or, so you don't tell a person give them a gift, or you do tell a person. Why? Because by Shabbos it says Lada'as. Hashem says, I'm giving you the sign. I'm giving you the gift of Shabbos, so you should know. But I am God who sanctifies you. So which is it? Amar lo akash baruch hu l'Moshe. The Almighty said to Moshe, I'm in the Gemara. Moshe, matana tova yeshli beveis ginazai. Moshe, I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house. The Shabbos Shema. Shabbos is its name. V'ani mevakesh litna liYisrael. I want to give this present of Shabbos to the Bnei Yisrael. Lech v'hodi osam. The Gemara says that God said to Moshe, go tell the people about Shabbos. So we have a question. Should you tell someone when you give them a gift? Or shouldn't you tell someone you give a gift? On the one hand, Hashem didn't tell Moshe that his face was beaming. On the other hand, Hashem said to Moshe, go tell Knesset Israel that I have a present. Mikan Amar Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel. From here, Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel says, Hano Sein Pas Latinok, one who gives bread to a child, Tzarich Lehodia Leimo. He should tell the child's mother that he gave him a gift. Very, very interesting. And listen to what Rashi says. Tzarich lehodia es imo, la'asos lo os v'siman. When you give a child a gift, you should make a sign and a mark. She'im yochilenu kodem she'yaval imo. Because if the child eats the tree, mamash, I'm quoting Rashi on the Gemara. So it's interesting to see how life was back in the 1000s in France. La'asos lo os v'siman. You should, pin a note to the back of the child's back. So why? She'im yochilenu. Because he gave him a donut, and before he gets home, he eats it. Tira es ha'os, she will see the sign or the mark that you made. V'tishalenu mi asalcha kach. And his mother will say, wow, Shimi, you came home from kindergarten with a note that says someone gave you a donut. Who gave you a donut? V'hu yomer ploni. And he will say, oh, my mora, v'gam nasan li pas, and she gave me a piece of bread. U'mitoch kach yodiu avi v'imo. And through this note, this sign, says Rashi, his father and his mother will know, shehu ohavam you will know that this child is endeared to this Mora, and you will increase love and friendship in Israel. How beautiful. So the Gemara actually concludes, should you tell when you give a gift, or should you not tell when you give a gift? So it's very important to know that we shouldn't always be so bashful, because telling when you give a gift increases love, chiba, vireus, and friendship in Israel. Something practical to keep in mind when you do something nice for someone else's child, you want them to know, because the Gemara Mamash says with Rashi, it increases love in Israel. So the Gemara concludes, should you tell or shouldn't you tell? God didn't tell Moshe that his face was beaming at the end of Kisisa, but he told Moshe in the beginning of Kisisa, tell Israel I have a present for them. The Gemara answers, lo kasha. After all that, the Gemara says there's no kasha. It's not a difficulty. Ha b'matana da'avida li'igiluye. Why? When the gift is likely to become revealed in any event, you don't have to tell. Rashi says, Kigon karan panim de Moshe, like the beaming face of Moshe. Shodi'u haroin lo tzarich hanosin l'odio. It's going to become revealed. It's so obvious that Moshe's face is beaming, and he's going to come down. The people will say, wow, your face is beaming. You need to put on a mask. We can't even look at you. So Rashi says, explaining the Gemara, when the gift will become revealed, so you don't need to tell. However, but if the gift will not become revealed, like Shabbos would have stayed secret, if Hashem wouldn't have told us about Zachar and Shamar, if he wouldn't have given the Chachamim the wisdom to know the halachas, it would not have become revealed. So if it will become revealed, you don't need to tell. But if it will not become revealed, you should actually not be so bashful. We should emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. You should say, look, I'm giving you a wonderful present, or I gave your child a wonderful present. It increases love. So the Gemara says, but Shabbos is a gift that was likely to become revealed in any event. So why did Hashem have to tell us? No, because the reward given for his observance would not become revealed on its own. So not only did Hashem reveal the beauty of Shabbos, but through the Chachamim, he also revealed the reward for Shmira Shabbos. And so we learn from here the beautiful gift of Shabbos that Hashem actually told us, because it may not have become revealed on its own. Going back to the Sefer, that was Maseches Beitza, Tes Zayin Aleph. So what do we do? The Mishnah Berurah holds, the Chafetz Chaim Mishnah Berurah holds that we should be like Beis Hillel. We're not on the level of Beis Shammai, and we're also not on the level of Beis Hillel. Important to keep that in mind. But practically, we might be able to reach the level of Beis Hillel and Hillel more easily than Beis Shammai. If you find a beautiful piece of meat, a behema, in the shuk, you should set it aside in the beginning of the week for Shabbos. Don't eat it in case you don't find a better one. Okay, page 21 at the top. Page 21 at the top. Please refer to the pages that I sent out to you. Rav Shimshon Pinkas continues. I hope that along with me, You are marveling. I really think this is an amazing experience. I know I said it already, but I am very, very moved that we are Baruch Hashem able to learn. I know you're on the call because I heard all the chiming in, and I have tremendous gratitude to the Ribono Shel Olam and to our sponsor and to Mr. Garlitz for facilitating this tremendous experience. And it really shows us Torah is Kihim Chayim V'Aruch Yameinu. During this 45 minutes, I'm certainly not thinking about coronavirus. I'm thinking about Shabbos, I'm thinking about Torah, I'm thinking about Parsha, I'm thinking about Kedusha, and it's a tremendous source of chizuk for me, and I really hope for all of you. I'm extremely moved. We are at the top of page 21. I better appreciated the value, says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, of early preparations when my son was getting married. You were expecting approximately 100 guests to arrive for the afruf. Of course, we didn't wait till Thursday morning to begin preparing. How true is that? If you make a simcha, you know. Sorry, I took too much tea. One second. Sorry. We are expecting approximately 100 guests to arrive from the office. We all know if we're planning a simcha or a big gathering, which we should all be zocha to be restored to our communities very soon. I was speaking to someone who is making a wedding on Sunday. There is no afruf, or maybe very small. The wedding was changed to a very small venue. It will only be family. The elderly grandparents, Baruch Hashem, there are three alive, are not even going to be in attendance at the wedding, which the Baal HaSimcha told me is perhaps the hardest part for her. But they, of course, are most concerned for safety. So we should all be zocha to be involved in preparing an afruf for 100 guests to arrive. Halavai, you should go back to our community simchas. Of course, we didn't wait, says Rav Pinkus, till Thursday to begin preparing. We began baking cakes 2 weeks in advance. Of course, you have to stock up. And on the Sunday before, you did all the shopping. So this truly reminds us how we have to prepare for Shabbos in advance. This reminded me of a passage regarding Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, the Sar Hador. First, I am quoting from the biography of Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Alaha Hashem, I am page 148 of the biography. Every Erev Pesach, where Mama's coming up to Erev Pesach, Rav Chaim Kanievsky makes the Siyum Bechoris and the Letterman Shul. He himself is a Bechor. His Siyum serves for all the other firstborns who are in attendance. Listen to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita makes a Siyum on every Erev Pesach. His Siyum HaTorah is on Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, Medrash Rabbah, Sifra, Sifri, Tanchuma, Zohar, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, and Shisha Sidre Mishnah, as well as the works of several Rishonim. This is mind-boggling. It was Rav Gedalia Nadel, the Rav of the Shul, who asked Rav Chaim to make the Siyum. He felt a Siyum on the whole Torah was preferable to a Siyum on one Masechta, and where else can you find someone who will make a Siyum on Kol Torah Kula Mamish other than Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita? For many years, the stipler, who was also a Bechor, made it a point to come to Rav Chaim's Siyum. I'm telling that to you as an introduction related to our learning on Shabbos, because I'm now going to quote a passage from Rebbetzin Kolodetsky, of course the daughter of Rav Chaim. Rebbetzin Kolodetsky says, Zeho yom asa Hashem nagila v'nismecha bo. The Rebbetzin announces in a loud voice in regard to the Siyum HaShas that we all celebrated. The day of the Siyum HaShas is a day of joy for all of us. When men make any type of Siyum, any type, she obviously realizes, Rebbetzin Kolodetsky, that all of our husbands, fathers, sons, brothers, all of them are not near the level of Rav Chaim Shlita. However, each on their own level, every Siyum is a tremendous accomplishment. Every Siyum is a gewaldik and holds up the world. So, Rebbetzin Kolodetsky says, the day of the Siyum HaShas is a joy for all of us. When men make any type of Siyum, it is a huge celebration for the woman also. Our reward, she says, is not smaller. It's even bigger. When the husband leaves until he returns, the wife gets schar for his learning as if she was learning the entire time. If she sends him off feeling angry or nervous, that's something else. But if she sends him happily, knowing he's going to learn, she can reach a greater place in Gan Eden. That is what my father, Shlita, used to tell my mother often. If a man decides to take a long coffee break, the wife is getting schar for all the time he's out of the house because she sent him to learn Torah. Now here we go. This is why I'm bringing this to you specifically. With a glint of nostalgia in her eyes, the Rebbetzin continues, quote, my mother's happiest day of the year was Erev Pesach. Imagine. Most of us on Erev Pesach, especially if you're home, I would say that might be the most, I don't want to use the word stressful, pressured day of the year. It's the beer chametz, it's the sof zman achilas chametz, kids want the last chametz, like, the, you know, they can't be a week, we all can't be a week without it. It's perhaps the most pressured day of the year. For Rebbetzin Kadievsky, Allah HaShalom, my mother's happiest day of the year was Erev Pesach. Why? It was the day my father, Rav Chaim Shlita, was Mesayim Shas every single year. On this most hectic day, when every other woman wants the mess out, and the workload reduced, my dear mother donned her Shabbos clothing. And ready for this, she would bake chametz cakes, special for the occasion. She would say excitedly, "I feel like I'm marrying off a child." In the later years, she did order the cake for the family from a bakery, but she always made one for Abba. This was her simcha. She would not give it up for anything in the world. And this is what it reminded me of on page 21, where Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, when we have a celebration, we bake a cake. You make an afaf, you bake a cake. Rav Chaim Shlita makes a siyam. It should be his siyam this coming Erev Pesach should be his chos for every single member of Knesset Yisrael. It should finally herald the ultimate redemption. Benisa nigalu, benisa asidi nigal. We all know that we need the ultimate Yeshua very, very, very badly, meaning in our days. But what do you do if you're expecting a big guest? What do you do if it's Erev Pesach? You put on your Shabbos clothing and you bake cake. So what should we do when it's Shabbos? How should I come to the Shabbos table? And I know I said my kabbal publicly. Maybe it could be mechazik somebody else. It's something we have to think about. You have to be thinking about Shabbos the whole week. Going back to the Sefer, page 21, paragraph 2. This is how we should prepare for Shabbos. We should start getting ready on Sunday, because on Shabbos, we will have a guest. Who is the guest? Hashem. On Monday, we should be occupied with thoughts of Shabbos. We should be thinking about Shabbos as much as possible. On Thursday, we should hurry to prepare the fish. And on Friday, we should think to ourselves, Shabbos is almost here. And when Shabbos finally arrives, there is nothing special we have to do anymore. All we need to do is remember today is Shabbos. And it's something that we spoke about a while ago. We don't get dressed. I'm specifically talking about the Lavush. We shouldn't be lighting candles dressed for the weekday and then get dressed for the meal right before the men come home. We have to be dressed for Shabbos before Shabbos. We're not getting dressed for the table. We're getting dressed for the Ribon Sha'olam for Shabbos Hamalka or Hamalach. We spoke about that a number of times. So therefore, when Shabbos arrives, your shetel should be on. I'm talking to Micha Horitz. Your Shabbos clothing should be on. The table's already set. There's nothing special. Because if we've been getting ready for Shabbos since Sunday, like Shammai, if you've been getting ready for the Siyam, like Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Allah Hashem, if you're getting ready for the offer of Halavai, we shall all be zochot to go back to our community celebrations, you're totally ready. The table is set for Shabbos. You have to remember today's Shabbos. Excuse me. The shtender is a Shabbos shtender. The sky is a Shabbos sky. And the stars are Shabbos stars. On this day, everything is different. Today, we are living in the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Our entire home is transformed into a place of Kedusha. And I'm going to share a thought with you that my father-in-law shared with me a couple of years ago. And I think especially today, when we are bombarded with the news, you know, I lived through Baruch Hashem. I was in Eretz Yisrael during the Gulf War. I was in ninth grade. I went to Tzviya, a girls' school in Yerushalayim. My family lived there for the year. And I went to Tzviya. It was the year of Gulf War. We were all given gas masks. We really believe that Saddam Hussein, Yimach Shmo V'zicho, had missiles, that the warheads were chemical warfare. My mother still has the book that the Israeli government gave out. It was mamish a book on what to do if you are under chemical warfare attack. It has pictures of your skin melting, literally. I see it in my mind's eye. She recently just showed it to me again. It shows you how to put on the gas mask. It shows you what to prepare in the cheder atu. My mamish remember it like it was yesterday. We were very, very scared. It was nothing like the world is facing now. I just said to my brother this week, even the Gulf War wasn't like this coronavirus panic mass. So she said, Micha, we thought we were going to die. I said, I remember how scared I was. I remember vividly, and I was off of school, but you didn't feel that the entire world was literally collapsing, which is today how the media and the images and the articles make us feel. I don't know if you feel like this. I can't imagine I'm alone. Look at the world and you think it's shutting down. That's what we remember. But why am I telling this in regard to our Shabbos Kodesh class? Because I think that the insight I'm about to share with you from my father-in-law is more relevant now than ever. My father-in-law said to me, and it relates to the paragraph we just learned, Shabbos is an ir miklat. What does it mean? Not that chas v'shalom were murderers, God forbid. An ir miklat was a place of refuge. It was a place to get away from the world who was coming after you when you felt like you were about to be finished off. An ir miklat was a place of sanctity. Many of the arei miklat were the arei halevian. So you had Shevet Levi there. A rebbe of the Rotzeach B'Shogeg was required to run to the ir miklat with him. So it was a place of kedusha. It was a place of safety. It was a place of Torah. It was a place where you had your Rebbe. It was a place where you could forget that the Gaal Hadam was running after you. And I think, especially this Erev Shabbos, Bergen County, it's unprecedented. I'm sure that you all saw the letter from the Rabbanim in Bergen County. Unprecedented. Even the Rabbanim are davening B'Yechidus. Especially on this Shabbos, as we prepare, whatever Kabbalah you took upon yourself. And if you didn't, I'm not a community leader, not a Rav, but I think it's clear to all of us, so we need to show Hashem that we're changing in some way. Everybody has to take something, and also make sure it has to be something doable. Don't take a Kabbalah you can only keep for a day. Even if it's very small, it says in the biography of Nesson Zvi Finkel Zatzal, Mamashit says, article biography, he took a Kabbalah upon himself not to eat taffies. Taffy, can't eat a laffy taffy, because he said he proved himself if he could do something small, he knew he would be able to do something bigger. Whatever you take, make sure you could actually stick with it. But when we come to this Shabbos, Be'ezras Hashem, in a few hours, I don't know the exact month, 6:35, I didn't look at the calendar yet. Remember, you're ready for Shabbos. You're going to an Ir Mecca. You're saying, Ribono Shel Olam, on Shabbos, I'm safe. Doesn't mean we shouldn't wash our hands. Okay, we don't use hot water. Of course, you still have to wash your hands with liquid soap. And we still have to be careful. But we have to have the idea, like Rav Shimshon Pika says in this paragraph, Shabbos arrives, I'm ready. What do I have to do? Zachar. Remember today Shabbos, like Rav Soloveitchik said, how we began the class. You can accomplish Shamar v'Zachar b'dibur echad, just like God said it b'dibur echad. How? Through Shmira Shabbos, we become elevated to Zechira Shabbos. My table is a Shabbos table. My shtender is a Shabbos shtender. The sky is different. The stars are different. Everything is different. Because today, I'm not living with the news. And today, I'm not living with WhatsApp. And today, I'm not living with the scares. And today, I'm not living with the pandemonium in Gourmet Glas and Seasons and Costco. Today, I'm not living with the panic. Today, tonight, Be'ezras Hashem, when you stand up and you say, Chadodi, say, Hashem, I'm in your ear, Mikla. I'm in your protective embrace. Today, there's no Go'al Hadam running after me. Today, I'm not afraid. It's me and it's you, Hashem. And I think that I'm going to start a new paragraph. We're at 44 minutes and 27 seconds, 28 seconds. But I think that we should all be mechazik each other. We should be mechazik our families, those people who, Rachmana Litzlan, need a refuah. Hashem should send them a refuah shleima. Can you please mute your phones? Hashem should send a speedy refuah shleima b'soch sh'ar chalei Yisrael. In the schus of our sharing Torah, and the schus of those who facilitated this harbatos Torah, and the schus of those who took the time to join our call in shir, and in the schus of our shmira Shabbos, zechira Shabbos, kedusha Shabbos, and ahava Shabbos, we should be zocha Shabbos is me'ein olam haba yom Shabbos menucha. We should be zocha to Yeshuos besoros tovos refuos clarity and simcha for all of Knesset Yisrael. I thank you for joining, and I wish you a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Thank you very, very much, everybody.
Amen.
Kol tov.